beautiful.
I invite you to join with me now in our litany for this morning entitled Honoring Those Who Gave All. Dear God of peace and creator of all that is good, we give you thanks.
We give thanks
and praise for all those who were willing to serve. For those who served in the Navy, the Air Force, and the Coast Guard. For those serving in the Army and the Marines. For our men and women who are willing to give the ultimate sacrifice. For those who left family, friends, loved ones, and careers. To ensure that in our world there could be an added measure of hope, freedom, peace, and equality. We thank you for each one who left to serve and did not return. For the price they paid for freedoms and blessings we enjoy. We remember the words of your Son, who also gave his life. Greater love has no one than to lay down their life for others. We thank you for those who left to serve and did return. Many came home with physical and emotional scars. Scars we may not see, but which they will bear the rest of their lives. We pray for your healing touch that may rest upon each of them. We thank you for those who are serving today, serving faithfully on every continent and ocean, and on bases across our nation and around the world. Thank you for their commitment. Keep them safe. Forgive us for what we've done to your perfect creation. Forgive us for what we have done to our brothers and sisters. Guide and direct all of those in leadership over our military today. May they seek peace in a world with liberty and justice for all. Remind us, we too are called to serve and to give our lives for others. We are called to fight evil, injustice, and hopelessness. In commission for the eternal cause of building God's kingdom, may we hear you say, "Well done, good and faithful soldiers." Glory be to the Father. Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, it is now and ever
shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns that you'd like to share? As the music plays, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, this morning, we are mindful of how life is filled with storms. We pray that you would remind us, just as last night, as the wind was howling, as the thunder was crashing, the lightning was flashing, remind us that in these storms of life, you promised us that you would be with us every step of the way. Thank you, Lord, that you promised to watch over us. Thank you that you promised to see us through whatever time we may have on this earth, and then to be with us through all eternity. We pray today that you would be with those who have suffered the ravages of these storms of nature. Be with those, Lord, who have lost property, those who have lost loved ones. Be with those who have gone through the emotional trauma. We just pray now that your healing hand would be upon them. Be with the first responders, Lord. Be with those with the power companies and those, Lord, who are going out to clean up the messes everywhere. Keep them safe. Give them a strength and a perseverance to do the work you've called them to do. We pray this morning that you'd continue to bless your church here at Rockwood. We pray that we might feel your touch upon us, that we might feel your call and claim on our lives to do the work that you've put before us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this church down through the years, for the ones who have come and gone. Thank you for those who are still here. We pray that you would use us to your honor and glory. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Okay, can we get some ushers to come forward, please? And ushers don't have to be gender specific. You got it covered? Okay, good man. There we go. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for all of your many wonderful blessings to us. We pray now that you bless these our gifts to you for the building of your kingdom. Bless the giver. Bless the one who's unable to give. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Please remain standing as we sing the Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Thank you. You may be seated. Occasionally, I have others to help me with the scripture reading, but this Sunday, I would not have done that to anybody else. You'll understand why in a moment. Reading from 2 Samuel chapter 23. These are the names of David's mightiest men. The first was Jashobeam, the Hakmonite, who was commander of the three greatest warriors among David's men. He once used his spear to kill 800 enemy warriors in a single battle. Next in rank among the three was Eleazar, the son of Dodai, a descendant of Ahoah. Once Eleazar and David stood together against the Philistines when the entire Israelite army had fled. He killed Philistines until his hand was too tired to lift his sword, and the Lord gave him a great victory that day. The rest of the army did not return until it was time to collect the plunder. Next in rank was Shema, the son of Agi, from Harar. One of the Philistines gathered at Lehi and attacked the Israelites in a field full of lentils. The Israelite army fled, but Shema held his ground in the middle of the field and beat back the Philistines, so the Lord brought about a great victory. Once during the harvest time, when David was at the cave of Adullam, the Philistine army was camped in the valley of Rephaim. The three, who were among the 30, an elite group among David's fighting men, went down to meet him there. David was staying in the stronghold at the time, and a Philistine detachment had occupied the town of Bethlehem. David remarked longingly to his men, "Oh, how I would love some of that good water from the well in Bethlehem, the one by the gate." So the three broke through the Philistine lines, drew some water from the well, and brought it back to David. But he refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out before the Lord. "The Lord forbid that I should drink this," he exclaimed. "This water is as precious as the blood of these men who risked their lives to bring it to me." So David did not drink it. This is an example of the exploits of the three. Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, the brother of Joab, was the leader of the 30. He once used his spear to kill 300 enemy warriors in a single battle. It was by such feats that he became as famous as the three. Abishai was the most famous of the 30 and was their commander, though he was not one of the three. There was also Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, a valiant warrior from Kabzeel. He did many heroic deeds, which included killing two of Moab's mightiest warriors. Another time he chased a lion down into a pit. Then, despite the snow and slippery ground, he caught the lion and killed it. Another time, armed only with a club, he killed a great Egyptian warrior who was armed with a spear. Benaiah wrenched the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with it. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. A memorial helps us to remember people or events. Memorial Day is to help us to remember the service, men and women, of all the wars who made the ultimate sacrifice. Think with me as we look back through history at these people who are willing to give all. We're told that during the Revolutionary War from 1775 to 1783, it is estimated that there were 25,000 deaths. During the Civil War, it is estimated that over 664,000 died. World War I, just from the United States, 116,516 gave their lives. There are 3,350 missing. Historians tell us that of this war, there were 10 million men killed around the globe. To this number should be added 13 million missing. There are also 10 million refugees and 6 million children who lost their fathers. The war cost over $338 billion, or $9 million an hour. In those 4 years, Europe lost all of the savings that it had accumulated in the previous 100 years. World War II, in the United States, over 407,000 died. 30,314 are missing. 407,000 from the European theater to the South Pacific. On the island of Saipan, 3,500 died. In the Philippines and Okinawa, 12,500 died. On Iwo Jima, an island that is only 2.5 by 4.5 miles long, 19,000 were wounded and 7,000 were killed. Statistics reveal that of the 16 million who were involved in World War II, less than 620,000 are alive today. And every day, almost 400 of those pass away. It's estimated that within the next 5 to 8 years, all of our World War II veterans will be gone. They have every right to be proud of their service to our country. There's a memorial in their honor on the Mall in Washington, D.C. On that memorial are 4,000 stars. Each one of those stars represents 100 dead just in World War II. In the Korean War, 36,516 died. 4,759 are missing. Vietnam War, over 58,000 died. 2,500 are missing. In the Vietnam War Memorial in Washington, there are over 58,000 names carved in stone there. It is one of our capital's most visited sites. The Iraq War, 4,497 died. Afghanistan, since 2001, 2,356 have died. Today, we're living in a world where the values are all mixed up. Several years ago, a prankster broke into a large exclusive department store and switched many of the price tags. Items that were worth thousands of dollars now had a price tag of just a few dollars on them. Articles that weren't worth more than a few dollars had price tags reflecting thousands of dollars. That's what the devil does in our lives and in our world. He switches the price tags around. We get it all mixed up. That's why people will spend thousands of dollars on a new car so they can travel all over the country in comfort and in style. But they won't spend $10 on Christian materials to get them ready for their trip to heaven. People will spend thousands of dollars to straighten their child's teeth, but they won't spend a couple hundred dollars to send their child to a church camp to help straighten out their life. We're living in a day and age when we'll give a child $20 to go to the movies and 25 cents to go to Sunday school. Almost 50 years ago, when I was in college, it was in the late 60s, I was talking with the owner of a skating rink near the campus. And he was telling me that most Saturdays, when he got there at 9 a.m. to open the skating rink, cars were lined up. Parents would drop off their kids, give them $20, and not come and pick them up until midnight when the skating rink closed. Now remember, this was back when $20 would buy you probably four tankfuls of gasoline. Imagine even today if a child asked for $20 for a church activity. When we think about the devil switching price tags, think with me for a moment. Let's say an item has a $10 price tag on it. That's a lot of money. But somebody thinks, well, I can just take it and stick it in my clothes or in my purse or in my pocket. Save $10. But now instead of $10, it costs thousands of dollars in court costs, attorney fees, and fines, not to mention possible jail time, not to mention the embarrassment to family and friends, not to even mention having a criminal record, and very few places want to hire an ex-con. Now $10 seems cheap. We get caught up in the moment and we forget about what is really important. And what is really important today is not things. What is really important is people. A group of friends went hunting. As they got to the woods, they decided to pair off and they went off in different directions. Later that evening at their base camp, one of the hunters came back dragging an 8-point buck. The others gathered around, and finally one of them said, "Where's Harry?" The hunter said, Oh, he had a heart attack about 2 miles up the trail. And they said, You left Harry up there and brought the deer back? He said, Well, he said, I didn't figure anybody would steal Harry. The deer was more important than his friend. As George teed up his ball at the first tee, a funeral procession went by on the road right next to the golf course. George set his club down and took his cap off and put it over his heart. He stood there until the procession had all gone by. And then he went back to his game. And his friend said, Well, that was really nice of you. George says, Well, it's the least I could do. We're married for 40 years. So often, we get our priorities all mixed up. On this Memorial Day weekend, we need to remember that people are what really count in life. In 2 Timothy, first chapter, Paul remembered his friend Timothy. Verse 3 says, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Verse 4, recalling your tears. Verse 5, I've been reminded of your sincere faith. Paul remembered Timothy enough to pray for him. He remembered Timothy's pain. He remembered Timothy was a man of faith. Memorial Day weekend and Memorial Day itself should be a time about remembering people and remembering how much all that we have really cost. First, we should look back and remember. We need to look back and remember all of our deceased veterans and loved ones. Memorial Day, or Decoration Day as it used to be called, is the day on which our nation honors our war dead as well as our ancestral dead. Since 1966, Waterloo, New York has been the official birthplace, mainly because of a proclamation signed by Governor Rockefeller and a resolution approved by Congress and signed by President Johnson. On May 5, 1866, village flags in Waterloo were flown at half-staff and interspersed with evergreen boughs and black bunting as residents decorated the graves of Civil War dead with flowers. There was a parade by some civic and veterans groups, speeches by Union General John B. Murray, and local minister. Since 1868, Waterloo has held ceremonies each year honoring the Civil War dead. It's likely, however, that the people of Waterloo, New York, were not the originators of Memorial Day, but came up with the idea about the same time as other communities across the nation. Another accounting tells us that the tradition goes back before the close of the Civil War. Columbus, Mississippi claims to have originated a formal observance of both the Union and the Confederate dead in 1866. In 1868, Commander-in-Chief John A. Logan of the Grand Army of the Republic issued an order designating May 30, 1868, for the purpose of strewing with flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of those who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion. These final resting places are decorated as a sign that these who gave so much for so many, that these our loved ones and friends, have not been forgotten. We need to remember that this Memorial Day observance has nothing to do with the justness or the unjustness of any particular war. It's all about the men and women who heard their country's call to arms and who gave that last full measure of devotion. I'm told that every day about 5,000 people visit Pearl Harbor in Hawaii, and 8,000 daily visit the Vietnam War Memorial to remember our deceased veterans. One of the biggest apprehensions that all of us have is that when this life is finally over, we wonder whether or not our lives will have made a difference, whether the world will be a better place because we're here for a short time, whether we will be remembered. People are what life is all about, and we need to remember them. These men and women who, many of whom are halfway around the globe putting themselves in harm's way daily, these who have given their lives, these who believe in liberty and freedom for everyone at any cost, deserve our utmost respect and remembrance. In the St. Mark United Methodist Church newsletter in Pensacola, Florida, the following article appeared, and you've probably seen it copied over the years. It says, "It is a soldier, not the reporter, who gave us freedom of the press. It is the soldier, not the poet, who has given us freedom of speech. It is the soldier, not the campus organizer, who has given us the freedom to demonstrate. It is the soldier who salutes the flag, who serves beneath the flag, and whose coffin is draped by the flag, who enables the protester to burn the flag. This Memorial Day weekend, let us remember our deceased veterans, loved ones, and friends. Let us remember the good things about their lives, the good faith they demonstrated, and the good times we had. We should look back and remember. Secondly, we should look out and love. We must love those around us and show them God's unconditional love. Colossians 3, 12 through 14, since God chose you to be holy people whom he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You must make allowance for each other's faults and forgive the person who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And the most important piece of clothing you must wear is love. Love is what binds us all together in perfect harmony. There's nothing wrong with giving flowers when someone dies, I think. I have a problem with the thousands of dollars that are spent on flowers at a funeral and then taken out to the cemetery, and a couple days later they're all dead and gone. But we can love people best when we remember them when they're still alive. Send flowers, take them out to lunch, wash their car, mow their lawn. Do something to show your love. We should look back and remember. We should look out and love. And thirdly, we should look up and honor. Look up to the Lord and honor him on this Memorial Day weekend. You remember Jesus was asked, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Over in James 1, it says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights." Someone has said that an ingrate is neither in nor great. Honor the Lord and give him thanks always. Look up to him always. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were continually involved in battles. Israel has been at war for at least 4,000 years now. Some of their generals included Moses, Deborah, Joshua, Gideon, David, Samson, Saul, and on and on and on the list goes. Our scripture today mentioned David's mighty men. These were the green berets of their day. Why do you suppose it was that God moved the writers of scripture to include the names of these freedom fighters in the Bible? Could it be to give honor where honor is due? Could it be that God wants us thousands of years later to know and to respect them and all of those down through the years who would follow? Memorial Day 2017 is also a time for our nation to come together. Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and Coast Guard, active and reserved, joining forces with firefighters, police, doctors, nurses, teachers, EMTs, construction workers, and citizens from all walks of life, willing to make whatever sacrifices are necessary for liberty, freedom, and justice for all. In the days since 9/11, we've heard the words of John F. Kennedy over and over again when he said, "Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country." We've discovered that Americans are still capable of rising to this challenge. To all of America's heroes, veteran and civilian, who more than self their country loved, today and hopefully every day, we salute you. Someone penned the words, "In New York Harbor stands a lady with a torch raised to the sky, and all who see her know she stands for liberty for you and I. I'm so proud to be called an American, to be named with the brave and the free. I will honor our flag and trust in God and the Statue of Liberty. May each of us live each moment of our lives in such a way that God can continue to bless and guide our United States of America." Heavenly Father, this morning, we give you thanks for all of these who have given their lives for us, beginning with your Son, Jesus Christ, on Calvary's cross, those who came before him and all of those who have come after him. We thank you for their sacrifice to us. May we not take it for granted. May we never assume that freedom is free. Remind us, Lord, of the price that has been paid. May we give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me, please?
Are ye able, said the Master,